This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Here's the pitch. Willier drives one high and deep into right field. At the track. At the wall. Gone! Slider. He launched a three-run homer, his second of the day, and it is 5-2 Red Sox.
Willier, Abreu, take a bow, buddy. My goodness, put the team on your back. I told you, get this man a slider over the plate, and he's going to hit it a long ways, and that was a missile on a line. What a swing in a huge spot.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Christian Arcand.
All right, Red Sox Review, let's go. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Christian Arcand here with you for about 40 minutes. We don't have a ton of time. We got to kick things over to the Sweet 16, which I believe is going to be the BYU-Alabama game, which just started at the Prudential Center over in New Jersey. So we only got 40 minutes. Christian Arcand here. Brian Frisoco behind the glass taking your calls again. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. If you want to chime in, you got to do it early and often, and I will take as many calls here as I can tonight, because I know a lot of people are jazzed up after watching the Red Sox and Willier Abreu get this season off to a very, very nice start. And I know it's one game out of 162. There's a long way to go, of course. But this is not an ordinary Red Sox season, and I think we all know that. I think we're all aware that there's a little bit more, there's a little extra involved when it comes to this season and it comes to the expectations and the hype and excitement. I was saying before, I don't really remember another season that had this kind of hype going into it. I really don't. I mean, there's been other good off seasons, not great ones. I think the David Price and the Chris Sale off seasons with Dombrowski were pretty good. Dice K, that was a great off season. Like, you know, there's been some good ones over the years, no question about it. But it's been a while, and this was a big one. Garrett Crochet, who you saw today, and we'll get into the start that he had. I thought it was good, not great. Aroldis Chapman, who pitched very well and has pitched well all spring. Alex Bregman, who had pretty good defense over at third base, had a tough time at the plate, as all the Red Sox middle of the lineup, top of the lineup really did. Outside of Jaron Duran, Devers, Bregman, Cassis, and Story, not one hit between them. Story did get on base with a walk, ended up stealing a base. It was a big, big time in the game. So it's not as if he didn't do anything, but you definitely saw offense coming at a premium in this game. Really for everybody, except Willier Abreu. Willier Abreu was terrific. 3 for 3 in this one. 4 RBI, 2 home runs, a walk, and 3 runs scored. He was tremendous. I mean, really. He looked like he looked like he had been locked in for the entire spring. And as you heard there at the end of the game, Fleming was talking to him. He barely even got any at-bats this spring. Abreu was not, like, killing it down in Fort Myers and just carried over his hot streak into this first game. No, no, no. He had a hard time. He was coming back. He had that GI thing. He was puking and everything. Like, that's going around. You know, Mookie's got it. Porzingis had it a little while ago. Everybody's got the bubble guts these days, but for Abreu, no problem. He comes out, and he just was nails raking at the plate against Eovaldi, against anybody really who was in front of him. He had a good at-bat in every single at-bat. Even the four at-bats, he walked in one of them, had three hits, including the two home runs. He drove in four of the five runs the Red Sox scored in this game and accounted for three of their six hits. So, you know, it was a pretty good Willy Abreu game, I would say. And someone who I think deserves a ton of credit for coming back and being able to produce right away, especially against the tough righty there like Nathan Eovaldi. That being said, over on the Red Sox side, Garrett Crochet, I don't want to say he was a disappointment because he did go five innings, only allowed the two runs, and struck out four batters, so it wasn't like he was bad. But I do think it was a little less than maybe what we were hoping for, a little less than what we were expecting. You look over at Nathan Eovaldi on the line that he had, nine strikeouts in six innings, two walks on three hits. I think that's a little bit more in the ballpark of what we were expecting Garrett Crochet to come out here and do. And even early on, you saw him falling into some deep 3-2 counts. You saw him missing the plate. I know that they were unhappy in the broadcast with the strike zone tonight, but I didn't really think it was all that egregious personally. I thought it was, you know, strike zone. It's the first game of the year. And it was the home plate umpire, Todd Tichenor. Hunter Wendelstedt was the first base umpire. He's not very good, and I don't know much about this Tichenor guy, but they were very – Will did not like his strike zone at all. I thought it was – whatever. I mean, I didn't really think one way or another about it. There were some pitches that he missed, but I didn't think it was egregious or biased or anything like that. At any rate, Crochet struggled a little bit. He had a hard time getting guys out early on in this one, but he did settle in and was able to get things going until that Higashioka double, which was an absolute rocket. But other than that, I think that Crochet did good and is very well in his first Red Sox start. I wouldn't say he blew everyone away, but he was good. He was solid. We'll see what Tanner Houck can give him tomorrow. I also thought that Garrett Whitlock pitched two strong innings. I was very happy with the bullpen today. I thought Whitlock's two innings were very good. He only had the one hit, struck out a batter. Aroldis Chapman gave up a hit, but other than that, clean inning for him. And then Justin Slayton gets him down 1-2-3 in the ninth inning, records his first save. Chapman picks up the win, and the Red Sox pick up a win as well, 5-2, the final score here against your Texas Rangers. Once again, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got lines open here as we get ready to... I don't know. as far as this season's concerned, and as far as the future of this team and everything else, this is the type of game that you feel good about. Texas Rangers are not a pushover team. They got some good hitters in that lineup, and the Red Sox pitching staff was able to limit them. Two runs at home on opening day. It's not like opening day out here either, by the way. Opening day in Boston, where it's like freezing. You know, you're out there, it's like April 5th or whatever. I don't even know what day the home opener is this year. I should know that off the top. But, you know, it's like early April. The wind is whipping around. You're over there. You're huddled up. You're still wearing, like, your ski jacket. You know? It's tough. You got the beers, but, you know, your hands are getting cold while you're drinking them, like that type of thing. We've all been there. We know what that's like. But that's not what it's like in Texas. In Texas is beautiful. And it was a beautiful night tonight. You know, to have that offense and those hits, Semien, Seager, Langford, Adelis Garcia, Berger, who they traded for and had a couple of nice plays in the infield. You know, Pilar is a sneaky Red Sox killer. Young had a couple of hits tonight. Higashioka had that big hit. You remember him from the Yankees. And where was he last year? The Padres?
Padres. I think he's part of that Juan Soto trade.
That's right. Yeah. Good little hitter, that kid. You know, although he did induce a balk, which I thought was funny. Robert Garcia's on the mound, and I forget what happened. Someone was on first base. I think it was Campbell, right? Yeah,
it was Campbell. Christian
Campbell's on first base after his first getting on base for the first time in the majors. And as Garcia's turning around, Higashioka's trying to get his attention. He's like waving at him. And Garcia sees him and like jumps. jumped forward. It's like, whoa.
I think he scared him a little bit.
I think he did. I don't think he was expecting to see the catcher doing that. Either way, it was a balk. He balked him over to second base, and that was that. But, yeah, aside from that, I think that the Red Sox should feel good. Pitching staff should feel good about this one. And the offense, I'm not worried about the offense. If Durant, Devers, Bregman, Cassis, and Story aren't getting the job done, you can always count on Willie Abreu. I'll tell you who I do feel a little bad for after this game, and that's Roman Anthony. You probably watched that and was like, okay, well, looks like my debut's not going to be tomorrow. I can tell you that at least, because you got to ride out this hot hand here with Willie Abreu. And while we're on the subject of Willie Abreu, maybe a guy who knows that there's someone, there's a stud breathing down his back. Pause. You know, like there's this 20-year-old phenom, number one prospect in all of baseball, who's just waiting for his opportunity to break into that outfield. You got Jaron Duran, who was an MVP candidate last year, probably not going anywhere. Sidon Rafaela, another young player. He's sort of in the same ballpark, I would say, as Abreu, but even younger than him. And then there's Abreu, you know, he's over there in right field, gold glove caliber player. And very aware, I'm sure, that Roman Anthony is the apple of the Red Sox eye and that they're waiting to get him up there and they're looking for an opportunity to do it. And he's not going to give him one today, boy, I'll tell you that. Willie Abreu not giving them any sort of opportunities to do anything, as he was the man today. He was absolutely the man. And to hear him after the game talking about that emotional day last year, his recovery from the GI infection and everything that he was dealing with all through the spring, it was cool to see. And if he can keep this up, even temporarily, you know, I know the Red Sox are going to hit. I know Bregman's going to hit. Devers is going to hit. He struck out three times today, but I know he's going to hit. And Duran and the rest of his story, I know those guys are going to hit. We know they are. That's sort of a given. They're not going to hit every night, but they are going to hit this year. Willie Abreu, I can't say I was had any idea what you're going to get from him. And still, you don't know what you're going to get from him this season, but that's a great way to start things off. That's a great way to start off. That gives a guy confidence early on in the year, batting in the bottom third of the lineup there, just ahead of Connor Wong and behind Christian Campbell. I think that this is all shaping up to be a pretty good thing here. If you can get some consistent production from Willie Abreu, I think that you're in pretty good shape. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. What else? Oh, Garrett Whitlock. The bullpen in general. You had your three best relievers out there in this game today, and it looked like it. Garrett Crochet struggled a little bit. You know, he threw a lot of pitches through those five innings, and he got deep into a lot of counts. The Rangers were giving quality at-bats to him. And then when Whitlock and Chapman and Slayton came out, I thought that they were much more efficient, and I think that they were able to sort of see what was going on through the first two times through the order and did a good job adjusting to that. Whitlock, I thought, was excellent. Chapman, I thought, was excellent. Slayton, I thought, was excellent. I don't think any of them, or I don't have really any notes for any of them. And that's part of this team that I was, I don't want to say concerned about, but it's part of the team I wasn't totally sold on yet, was this bullpen. I think the bullpen was going to be good. It was going to be great. I don't know. I wasn't even sure it was going to be good, really. I mean, listen, when they signed Aroldis Chapman, I wasn't doing backflips for that move. I thought that that was an odd opening salvo for them this offseason. Going after that guy. That's your first move? Okay, well, I guess you need a power lefty, even though you kind of already had one. But either way, not going to go down the Kambuza road again, but you did already have a power lefty in the bullpen. I thought it was odd that that was the first thing that they went for. They needed help in the bullpen, sure. I just thought that was a weird opening salvo. Anyway, looks like a pretty good one here, as they were able to follow that up with the Crochet deal, the Buehler deal, the Bregman deal, and so forth. And I think that, you only react to things as they happen. And a lot of us were confused seeing that. Chapman, that's your first move? Really? Okay. I hope there's more coming, and luckily there was. So that's another aspect of this thing that I like. You got Tanner Houck going tomorrow. I'm interested in seeing what he looks like tomorrow, because Tanner Houck had a bad spring. Couldn't strike anyone out. Was getting tattooed a lot of these games. And Houck was someone who was he an all-star last year? I think he was. He was your ace last year. And he never really pitched with full-on ace stuff. I don't think he held him back or anything like that, but he's probably more suited to be a number two or maybe even a number three on a stacked rotation. But that, regardless of all that, I'm interested in seeing what he looks like coming out here. I'm interested in seeing what kind of season that he has, because Tanner Houck is someone who I still consider to be a young player on the rise, right? I look at Jaron Duran that way too. I think Jaron Duran, you know, you look at these last 2 years with him, and yeah, they've been explosive. But they are part of an upward trajectory, and if he continues on that upward trajectory, then Jaron Duran could be the MVP this year. If he improves from last year, from what he did last year, and keeps on doing that, I mean, listen, you know, he's still got some great players in the American League, but he was right up there, and he was a candidate last year. Devers, tough day for him, going 0-for-4 with three strikeouts, but I'm not worried about Rafael Devers. I'm not. Although in the back of my mind, in the very back of my mind, that part of your mind with the intrusive thoughts, you know what I'm talking about, Brian?
Absolutely.
That part of your mind that just says things and you're like, shut up, stop saying those things.
Like, maybe you should have played more spring training games.
Or maybe he really isn't good as a DH, you know?
Like a mental thing?
Like a mental thing. He was very adamant about playing third base. He said he didn't want a DH. You look at his numbers as a DH, and they're not very good. He doesn't do it that much, but like you look at the times he's DH'd, and it's not like his numbers get better. That is one of those things that kind of defies logic. You know, the guy's a hitter. This is what he's known for. This is you're standing in the batter's box. Who cares if you were at third base for the last half inning or sitting on your ass? What's the difference? You're up there in the batter's box, but there is a difference. There is a difference. These baseball players are crazy. They're all crazy. They're all wound super tight. They're all very high strung, and if you disrupt their routine even just a little bit, the delicate geniuses, you know, it could throw them off. I'm not kidding. I know I'm being kind of a dink right now, but like that is true with baseball players. It's true with pitchers and it's true with hitters. It really is. Like they are creatures of habit to a fault sometimes. And I do wonder if Devers. I mean, listen, I don't think it's going to be something that is a problem all year. But it may be something that he doesn't immediately take to. Maybe something that requires an adjustment over time. And maybe some of it has to do with him just not being happy about it. Like Cora said, after spring training was over, and he was talking to the afternoon show the other day, and he was like, listen, you know, he doesn't always have to agree with it. You don't have to like it, but this is the way it is. Raffy's going to be our DH. Bregman's going to be our third baseman, and that's the way we're going to proceed. And, you know, like I'm not here to make everyone happy. I'm not here to, you know, worry about everyone's feelings. I'm here to put the best possible team out there. And he believes that Devers at the DH and Bregman at third base is the best, for defensively anyway, best way to do it. Offensively, I think you can still question that. And we talked about that last night with the Play Tessie guys. Is this a better offensive lineup now than it would be with Bregman at second, Devers at third, and Yoshida DHing? Now, Yoshida's on IL, so it's kind of a moot point right now. But we know that when he comes back, Devers is still going to be the DH. So you kind of have a man without a country there in Masataka Yoshida, and I think that could end up being a problem if they try to trade him or end up having to DFA him or whatever it ends up being. I don't want anyone to get injured, but the only way I can see Yoshida breaking through is if someone does. And I think that that's, you know, sort of a, when you have log jams at certain positions, that can be an issue. And with Yoshida, found out yesterday he's been throwing footballs all around Fort Myers. Baseballs, not so much. And until he's able to throw, then you're not going to see him in the outfield. And if you can't see him in the outfield, then you're probably not going to see him at all. Which, again, is not really anything to worry about today. But if Devers is struggling hitting as a DH, which is weird to even say, struggling hitting as a DH. I can hit when I play third, but when all I have to do is hit, I can't do it. Like, that's weird. But whatever, it's baseball. Baseball players are weird. That's how they operate. They're like that. You know, what are you supposed to do? So with that being said, I think that you have a, with Devers anyway, I don't think you have really much to worry about. Tristan Casas had a tough day, 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. He got robbed of a base hit up the middle by, I think that was Berger that made that play. They were in the shift. And Berger made a great play and a great throw to get him at first base, robbed him of a hit there, so maybe that's a little bit misleading. I thought some guys put good wood on the ball. You had Bregman had a nice, solid shot to right field, a line drive there that hung up a little bit. Garcia got under it. Same with Jaron Duran. Jaron Duran in the third inning, I want to say, hit a sharp liner out to right field, but Garcia just happened to be perfectly placed there, and that was that. Other than that, I mean, listen, it was a tough day. Nathan Eovaldi was dealing in those first few innings. That second inning when he struck out the side with all those curveballs, I was gasping at some of those pitches. I was like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Devers looked bad all day, but he looked especially bad against Eovaldi.
Against Eovaldi.
He looked overmatched.
He couldn't hit Eovaldi with a surfboard today. I mean, that was a rough one for him. And Eovaldi, listen, Eovaldi, we know what Eovaldi is. We remember Eovaldi. Is he a number one ace, like World Series? No, he's not, but he's definitely a solid power pitcher, and he was out there dealing again today. You had the best part of that Rangers bullpen, too. Garcia, old friend Chris Martin, Luke Jackson, who's supposed to be their ninth inning guy, and he was awful in this one. Only got the one out, and that was that. I thought Martin looked pretty good. And then Sean Armstrong came in relief of Jackson. And that was after the home run already got given up, and that was that. So I think, with the totality of everything here in this game, Alex Cora's got to be feeling pretty good. on a day where it was tough to get any offense going against the tough Rangers pitching staff, Willier Abreu was able to be enough for this team. And on a day where Garrett Crochet didn't really have his best stuff and maybe was a little, you know, overexcited with the opening day on a new team and a big market and all that, still good enough. Two runs in five innings on five hits. I mean, listen, that's not going to win you any awards, but it was certainly good enough today. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up next here on Red Sox Review.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The 2-2. Swinging a high fly into center field. Rafaela's got it lined up. He waits. He's there. He makes the play. And the Red Sox win it on opening day thanks to Willier Abreu and his two home runs. 5-2 the final in Arlington.
Willier Abreu, who had a part in every run for the Boston Red Sox today. It's Christian Arcan here. This is Red Sox Review. If you want to jump in and join the conversation, you got to do it right now. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're only going until 8 o'clock tonight, folks. We got to pass things over to the Sweet 16, BYU and Alabama, live from the Prudential Center. That game's already in progress, so we'll be handing it off to them here in about 15 minutes. But first, let's hear from the manager. Don't call him Skipper. That's Alex Cora, and here he is.
For good at bad. Three-two counts. We battled. We took our walks, and then Willie had the big game. But I think overall, we struck out a lot. I think that pitch mix by Nate, that was different than what we expected. But we kept fighting. Obviously, the two big swings, they were huge. But I think the walk before the stolen base, putting Hammy to run there, and put pressure on the pitcher, probably got a good pitcher hit for Willie. Just being at first base.
Yeah, you talked about Willie kind of being up against the clock in spring training to make the roster, that you trusted him. How much did...
Yeah, I mean, Jaron was like, oh, you don't need spring training. Like, actually, he probably got more at-bats than you, because he was getting 7 and 8 every single day since he went back. And, he's such a good player, dynamic. Last year, he had a big one here, big game, right, when his grandma passed away. And now, he hit two for the Twins, He can go one, For the Twins, you got to get two.
One for each.
Yeah.
You decided to keep him in against that lefty, Garcia, in whatever inning that was, just helped kind of set up that.
No. Yeah, I mean, me and Ramon, we were talking about it. Men in scoring position, probably, and Willie. There's going to be situations, his base is loaded, one out, they bring the lefty for him, and we got ref, and we're going to do that. We got Romy, too, but it just put a good up-bat, too. And I think his swing will play against lefties. It's going to benefit him, too, against righties. Sometimes when you only face righties, you become too pull happy. And if you remember 2 years ago, he was able to drive the ball to left center. He didn't do it last year. So he'll play. We'll pick and choose, good job by him.
What do you think of Crochet today?
He was good. A lot of cutters. Vila was okay, right? I think he found his fastball kind of like halfway through the outing. Of course, he wanted to keep going, right? But we're in the business taking care of him. We have to do that. And, five innings, 90-something pitches or 90, did a good job.
Bullpen kind of do like kind of exactly what you needed today, and you had it structured.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to do. That's how we're going to use him, multiple innings, regardless of the pocket. Seager was leading up the eighth. That's for Chapman. He can get righties out, and then Slayton was outstanding.
Alex, was there ever a point in spring training you thought you might not have Willier?
There was at one point, yeah. I was very aware about the whole situation, but thank God nothing happened, he was able to get his at-bats and get his strength back. He's still down a little bit. His weight is down, but, he's a good player, and I'm happy that he's here.
What do you think of the day that Campbell had?
It was good. I mean, it's the big leagues, man. It's not easy to do it. He was nervous and put a good at-bat, the walk. Then the last one, he hit it hard and got his... I guess that was a hit, right? Mm-hmm. Dan probably is laughing over there, right? yeah. But whatever, a good one. Probably this is the first time he's been pinch ran in his life, you know, but we know what Hammy can do. Obviously, the defense, too, so we felt that that was a spot. But overall, a good one, and we won, so everybody's happy.
Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox there, happy talking about Willier Abreu, about pinch running for Christian Campbell, which I thought was an interesting call there in the ninth inning. They brought in David Hamilton, and it was an upgrade defensively at second base. And also, I guess he's a little bit faster than Christian Campbell, although I wouldn't have known that. At any rate, nice day for Don't Call Him the Skipper, Alex Cora. And let's get to the phone. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll lead things off with Matt in Rhode Island. Matt in Rhode Island, go ahead. You are the first Red Sox review caller of 2025. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, man. How you doing? Great game. You know, obviously just the first game, but I just got to say, if everything being on average, if you look at 1 through 9, they're going to do a lot of damage this year, scoring a lot of runs, and, you know, except for a couple teams, they're definitely a top 5 offense. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Matt. And I agree with you. I think that the Red Sox have a chance here to be, I don't know if a top 5 offense, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think that they have the horses for that. They have all the tools. They have all the tools to be the best team in the American League, I think. The Yankees aren't bad, and I don't think that, you know, the reports of their demise have been exaggerated a little bit. Yeah, they did lose Juan Soto, but they also brought in Paul Goldschmidt and
Cody Bellinger.
So, I mean, you know, not that those guys are what they were 7 years ago, but they're still pretty good. And, yeah, Gerrit Cole went down with the injury. They're not going to have him. Max Fried's pretty good. So they did get some insurance for him, I think. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening there. But overall, I mean, listen, Baltimore with a big win over Toronto today. Tampa didn't play today, did they? No Tampa?
No,
today?
They got delayed because of, I think, weather, so they're playing tomorrow.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah, no Tampa Bay Rays. It had to have been an away game with weather, right?
I assume so, right.
At the dome?
Right.
Or no, didn't their dome get torn up? What happened in Tampa? There was a storm, and didn't it, like, rip off the roof of Tropicana Field, or am I crazy? Did I imagine that? I may have imagined that. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Gerrit Crochet was the starting pitcher today. He didn't end up getting the win. It was a no decision for him. 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, and 4 strikeouts. Let's hear from Crochet.
Yeah, it was kind of a grinder day from the start. I felt like, you know, I struggled with consistent execution. Maybe took a few too many shots in the first couple innings trying to get swing and miss, and kind of dug myself in a hole with pitch count early. But, you know, later on in the game, kind of just started trusting the defense and, you know, trusting everybody other than myself, and just started trying to fill up the zone as best I could.
You talked last, I think, in your last start, being frustrated with a leadoff walk, yet another one of those, yeah. And that kind of came back to kick you a little bit.
Yeah, just walks in general. You know, last year I feel like I didn't walk guys, so I feel like I've been putting a little excess pressure on myself to not walk guys. Realistically, though, it's part of the game. Had a chance to pitch around it. Wanted the sinker to Higashioka. Obviously, just left it with a lot of plate. That's just kind of it. If there's one pitch I could take back, it'd be that one.
After the second half last year, sort of having to go through that, did it feel good to say, I'm just going to pitch right back?
Yeah, for sure. To be honest, I don't really think about that at all anymore. I was, you know, like I said, the first 2 innings really taxed my pitch count, and I was, you know, I'm going to walk away from today priding myself on the fact that I was able to be a lot more efficient there later in the outing.
Bradford and McAdam could really do a good buddy cop show if they wanted to. Like, McAdam's the tough cop, Bradford's the good cop, you know what I mean? Like, the good cop, bad cop routine. They could definitely do that. That would work. I would watch that if that was a thing. Gerrit Crochet talking about some of the struggles he had early on in the game, some pitches he'd like to have back, things of that nature. I'm not worried about Gerrit Crochet. I'm not. It's not like he had a bad game. He didn't overwhelm anybody like we all thought he would, but he definitely was strong in the dialing up the fastball. I think he topped out at 97 today. That's the fastest one I saw. I don't know what the official gun said, but that was the highest one I saw on Nesson today. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not worried about him. I think that he'll be fine. By the way, the Tampa Bay Rays are playing at George Steinbrenner Field, which is the Yankees spring training field. So that's where Tampa's playing. I wasn't aware of that. So that there's no dome there, obviously. So that's why the weather, I guess, got in the way. Either way, all that being said, for Gerrit Crochet, I'll be interested in his next time around in the rotation. We got Tanner Houck tomorrow. I'm very interested in seeing what he looks like. And then next game after that, Walker Buehler's first game, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting one as well. Walker Buehler, who, you know, kind of the forgotten man of the offseason in a weird way. Like, he's a starting pitcher who was picked up. And when people talk about this offseason, they barely even talk about him. Isn't that weird? Like, they barely even mention him. You know, Buehler, I think, could be a major X factor this year. Major. And with the way that it all happened, like, he missed most of last season with a hip injury. He missed the year before that. And when he came back to the Dodgers in August from the hip injury, he couldn't do anything. Like, he really struggled for a couple of those starts and early on in the playoffs. And then he just found it in the World Series. Of all the times to find it, he got it back in the World Series and was great. 5 scoreless innings in Game 3. And then in the 9th inning, he got his first career save and locked down the World Series for the Dodgers. So that's what he's coming off of. I can't wait to see what he looks like here. I thought he looked good in the spring. He's got a huge arsenal of pitches, and he was using all of them. So I thought all of that was very promising. We'll see tomorrow as Tanner Houck and Jack Leiter will be the pitching matchup. It's an 8:05 first pitch with a 7:05 start to the MassMutual pregame show, which is with yours truly right here, Christian Arcand. I'll be here with you for that, and can't wait. It's going to be a fun season, folks. I'm excited for this season. I was excited going into it. I'm even more excited now. That was an exciting win. And you can thank Willie Abreu for that. All right, for Brian Fazoco and also Joe Braverman, I'm Christian Arcand. This has been Red Sox Review. We now join BYU and Alabama live at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. This game already in progress here in the Sweet 16. Back tomorrow at 7:05. Well, I'll be here at 6:05 for an hour. And then we have the pregame show at 7:05 right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night.